In this episode of Upward Calling, we talk about becoming more like God. Welcome to Upward Calling. We help Christians develop a relationship with God by talking with University of Church of Christ evangelist Josh Creel and Dr. Kenny Embry. Listen as we take a deeper dive on a lesson from a recent Sunday service and help you apply it Monday through Friday. How you doing, Josh?
Kenny, I'm doing well. It's Monday, and we are actually talking only a day after the lesson was given, and so maybe this is somewhat fresh on our minds.
Just as a way of explainer, I have to apologize. My semester got away from me. We had talked about whether we should talk about Don Truex's excellent sermon about leadership. Eventually, we ended up not doing that, and then I also neglected to in a timely fashion, release the last episode, which was your sermon about depending on God. That has been rectified. If you are listening this significantly after the fact, this will make no sense to you at all. But for those who try to follow the podcast as sermons are released, we were just a little bit later. So I apologize for that.
And in truth, the reason why we didn't do one for Don is we figured anyone that either was there present live or went back and listened online to his lesson to follow up his commanding voice and presence with us two, you know, yokels talking, didn't seem like, you know, really that appropriate. So we figured we just let that lesson stand on its own.
That's exactly right. Don has a very rich baritone voice. Do yourself a favor. If you've never heard Don Truex preach, if for no other reason, just listen to the timbre of his voice. It is amazing. This week, you talked about something that I really appreciated. But one of the things you did with this week's sermon was you asked a question. And the question was, how could we be better Christians? Is that an unfair question, Josh?
I think because sometimes the criticism is leveled at believers who take very seriously the Word of God and practicing the Word of God. That for people maybe that are not as well acquainted with what we actually believe, or maybe even ourselves sometimes, that faith becomes more of a, okay, I have these things that I must do, and if I do them, then everything's fine.
Right.
And it's that idea of the checklist religion that, you know, we've spoken about before. Mm-hmm. If we're doing self-assessment and we're looking at, okay, what are areas where I need to be better? Mm-hmm. All the things that we mentioned at the beginning of the sermon yesterday are probably things and areas that we do need to be better at.
Right.
But the ultimate answer to the question is, if I want to be a better Christian, then I need to look at God and I need to model my life after God more. And that may mean I study more and I pray more and I give more. But the ultimate question that we're asking should be, am I being like God? And if I'm not being like God, how can I be more like God?
That's right. Is that an unfair comparison, Josh? Two parts of this. Number one, especially critics of Christianity, they would say, well, isn't this just the height of narcissism? Here's a God that wants us to be like him. I mean, what kind of narcissist wants you to just copy everything he does? And isn't it also the height of futility? I mean, the fact of the matter is we are comparing ourselves against a perfect standard. And you and I both know how we're going to fare in that comparison and how everybody fares in that comparison.
Yeah, so let's definitely deal with the first one to begin with, which makes sense. Ken, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Does it seem to you like we're hearing the term narcissism more these days than we did a decade ago?
Oh, I think so. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And when we talk about God wanting us to be better, well, I think there's a lot of areas in life where we have people that care and they want others to be better, and it's not narcissism. A father or a mother who has high standards for their children and wants them to achieve and to achieve their potential, that's not narcissism. That's encouraging growth. Right. I think if you have a college professor like yourself, Kenny, or a teacher in school who isn't going to let you, you know, slide by and who has expectations for you, that's not narcissism. That's wanting you to achieve your potential. Mm-hmm. I think you see that in a lot of areas. I think, though, the reason why we're hearing narcissism more and more, and I'd like to hear your, you know, thoughts on this too, is because we do have in our culture more of this idea that you need to accept me for who I am, for what I am, for where I am.
Right.
And anything that's challenging that, that's you, you know, being up on your high horse and you thinking you're so much better than everybody else. And so you're a narcissist and just leave me alone.
Right, right. You know, I think one of the things, I agree with what you're saying, because it's an easy way to dismiss somebody else's point of view if you're just able to call them a narcissist. That's a great way to cancel them. I think the other thing that's happened to us, especially in this day and age, is the barrier to entry to get a message out has gotten so low. And there are a lot of people who will talk about influencers. And often when they talk about influencers, they are talking about a bunch of people who have an ego problem. They want to get followers basically to feed that ego problem. And they don't believe that a good influencer could possibly be ethical as well.
Right.
And I think you and I have both listened to that podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, and it centers around a very egotistical man, Mark Driscoll. And the thing about it is he absolutely had an ego problem, but he also had a pretty good message as well. And the problem was when his ego got in the way of the message.
Right.
Because one of the things he stressed over and over was men need to face up to responsibility and take that responsibility on and stop being children.
Yeah.
That's a message I can get behind.
Right.
But same the here. Way he presented it was so egotistical that it turned a lot of people off to the personality, and they mixed up the personality with the message. I think what you're saying, and I completely agree with this, there are some people whose personalities have gotten in the way of an amazing message. And I think that has happened all the time. Are there some narcissists that are giving us the right message, but letting their egos get in the way of that message? I think so.
Yeah. So let's talk about God then in this sense, because
yeah.
You read scripture, and if we're saying, you know, the Bible is a product of God, and granted, mm-hmm. it has narrative and it has all these other poetry and all these other different kinds of literature styles within the Bible. But yeah, we're saying it's a product from God. And so yeah. The Bible not only speaks praise of God, but also mm-hmm. then commands that praise be given to God. Okay, so yeah. There may come the charge from someone, oh, well, you know, here is God, egotistical, maniacal, however you want to put it, narcissistic. Okay. Mm-hmm. But let's think about this. Mm-hmm. We need to understand we are talking about someone who is not us, and the scripture maintains that throughout. Mm-hmm. A lot of this goes back to, do you believe that there is a God? And that's, you know, that's a discussion for a different podcast. Mm-hmm. And I would even encourage those who are listening, what we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights this summer is looking at some different lines of evidence mm-hmm. that would say there is a God. So if there is a God who's not like us and who created us, then we're talking about a being on a higher plane.
Right.
But then also, in particular, what we were looking at on Sunday, for God to declare his glory and for him to say that we should also appreciate that glory, he's not doing it simply for himself. He is saying, this glory is how I created you. Being created in the image of God, we were made in right. his image. So we share in that divine nature that Peter talks about in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4.
Right.
So for the Bible to trumpet God and say that he is greater and he is holy and he is all these things, then yes, we should just, you know, bow down in appreciation of that and honor and glorify him. But he's also setting the goal. He's saying, here is what you can be. Here is the potential for each and every one of us. Now, that, again, as Christians, we understand that potential is only available because of what Christ has done for us, is doing for us, will do for us.
Right.
But it's still the potential that resides in every last one of us that God says we can be his children. We can be like him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last time I checked, you go to the gym, if you have a trainer or someone, they're not just going to be happy with you if you sat at home eating donuts and didn't exercise. I said, no, you're not unlocking your potential. You can be much better than that.
Right.
And that's what God's doing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I love donuts, but I mean, so don't anyone listening to this, don't think that this is an anti-donut podcast. This is a pro-donut podcast.
Well, it's only half of I'm a low carber. So I think one of the other things that I would say is it futile to seek after God's perfection? Yes, it is, but it's the only journey that makes any sense. Will you ever have 0% body fat if that's your goal? No. But will you be better than you were if that's the lifestyle you pursue?
Right.
Yes. And I think that's part of it. I think the other part of this is God a narcissist? And that was the first part of this question. God doesn't need anything from us. Mark Driscoll got a lot of financial incentive to basically build up his name and a following. He also had a lot of other incentives as well. God never needed us. And if you think that he's a narcissist, what does he get out of it? He doesn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
There's not any material advantage that he gets from sacrificing his son. What we get out of it, however, is a father and a family. And I think does that make sense? Do you see the difference there?
It does. And I understand and agree in principle what you're saying. I do, and this would be one of those questions that I don't think we're going to get answered until one day maybe we get to ask God himself.
Yeah.
When we say he doesn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
He gets beings to love.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get that.
So, you know, in making us, I think in making us from the very beginning, that is a product of love. And so does God get something out of it? Yes. But then again, he gets the ability to love. So is that an egotistical, narcissistic, you know, aspect and trait? No. This is, he creates objects or beings that can be loved. They can experience the love of God. They can experience the blessings of God. So I do think he, in that sense, he gets something from it, but it's not a, you know, again, the example of human preachers or human, you know, people who would have an ego, you know, it's not what material benefits, what, you know, how is my ego stoked and all those kinds of things. That's not what we're talking about God getting from it. The other part about, you know, is this futile? And I appreciate what you said. We're talking about a journey here. And this is actually in the text yesterday in 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, we're going to be coming back to this text several times. We're going to look at this passage for the next couple of weeks. We're going to take a break because of some travel and some other things, and then we'll come back to the passage. But a verse I read yesterday, but I didn't really, you know, focus on yet, but he says in verse 8, after we talk about these 8 qualities in verses 5 through 7, he says that these qualities are yours and are increasing.
Yeah.
He didn't say you have to have these things fully formed at the jump.
Yeah.
No. Do you have a little faith?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Can that faith grow? Do you have a little virtue? Yeah, I, you know, okay, there's some virtue in my life. Okay, can that increase? Do you have the ability to love your brother? Yeah, I do that some. Well, can that increase? Do you have the ability to love a stranger? I do that some. Can it increase? So it's that idea. It is futile if we think, really, you know, I am going to have reached perfection now or any time in the future. Right. That's not what God's asking me. He's saying, can you have these qualities and can you continue to grow in them? And then we're going to trust that God's going to provide the rest.
You know, one of the things that I noticed about this, and this is something that I really appreciated, you're making a value argument here. In other words, you're saying these are the values that you should have. And really, what you, in that value argument, you're telling us these are the values that should be increasing in you. How do we know that these are the right ones? I mean, let me just go ahead and throw out some other values there. Competition is a value. Greed is a value. We're talking about a set of values that were around long before the internet, long before really a lot of the more major things that have happened in our lives. Why are these right?
Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons. The first one being the big one. From the context of the passage, verse 4, Peter says, you know, by God's great promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature. And then he goes on to give these 8 qualities in verses 5 through 7. Aside from the first one of faith, you know, God doesn't necessarily need to have faith in himself. However, God being faithful is certainly a virtue that God is. You know, he keeps his promises. Okay, so the qualities that are listed in verses 5 through 7, godliness, knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness, love, and all the ones that are listed there, are the moral attributes of God. Now, does God have all power? Yes. Is that a virtue that we are called upon to strive after? No. In fact, he says, you know, you need to have faith in me that I'll exercise my power. So for instance, in the case of vengeance that Paul talks about in Romans 13, I'm not supposed to take that on my own. God will do that. So there are other virtues or other qualities, we should say, that God possesses that he doesn't ask us to grow in. He asks us to grow in these moral qualities. And so that's what he's defining as the right ones, because in that way, we again become the moral characters that God desires. Now, the other line of reason that I'd give is, I think you look at the broad spectrum of human cultures, and I think you would find that those values that are found in verses 5 through 7, at least we pay lip service to. Those are the values that humanity, even as far as we have fallen from God, yet we still say these are good values.
Right.
Now, does not mean that we practice those values. So again, we kind of think about how our culture is going. Self-control is a value that people would say, yes, that is good that we control ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't really exercise self-control, and we don't, you know, people get upset when you say you need to control yourself. Well, you know, who are you to judge me? So, you know, we have more of that. We certainly say love. Oh man, love is a virtue that, you know, everybody should just strive toward. And then we find ourselves just getting mad at everyone all the time and having arguments in traffic and all these things. So we at least pay lip service to it. And I think personally, that is because man, again, no matter how far we've fallen away from God, yet we were originally made in his image. And so we still understand these are qualities that we should strive for. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, you know, no culture has ever said that, you know, being a thief is a virtue. and that kind of goes back in his mind to an argument that, well, because ultimately we all go back to a common morality, and that those moral standards all came from somewhere.
Yeah. And that was one of his arguments for the existence of God. The more that we're like God, the better off we are. So easy question. How does being like God help us in God's upward call?
You know, this is probably the question of all of them that I was looking forward to the most, because the original purpose of this series of lessons that we're going to be doing is to try to take, I don't know if saying take the pressure off is the right way, but I, you know, Kenny, we're blessed to be part of a congregation right now that's growing. We've got, you know, children, you know, your some of your kids, my kids being baptized. You know, we've got visitors who have been coming, studies that are going on, people who are obeying the gospel. And we talk about discipleship. and we talk about how being a disciple is to follow in the steps of Christ. And we look at the Great Commission, the final part of the Great Commission being, you know, you need to do everything that Jesus commands. And so we, you know, Kenny, you have a great practice where you give people Bibles. Okay. Well, I've got really thin Bibles and I've got really thick Bibles. I use a really thick Bible now because I don't have to have reading glasses to read the really thick Bible. Whereas the really thin Bibles, I would have to have the reading glasses.
I understand. Okay. Yeah.
But regardless, you open those and they're just covered, you know, edge to edge with words. And we're saying, here is God's will. Follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that... That's like walking into the class and the professor gives you the syllabus and the syllabus is three pages, you know, filled front to back and says, you're expected to know all this by the end of the semester. Well, right. Okay. Well, I'm going to be looking to drop that class pretty quick. All right. So I don't want people to drop this though. I don't want people to drop out of being a disciple because they think I can't do this. This is too much. I can't possibly learn all this, understand all this.
Yeah.
That's not what God's asking us. Can we come to an understanding of eight qualities, eight principles? And can we put those principles into our lives and grow in those principles? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, God knows our potential and God is there to help us reach that potential. And so within this, what we're trying to do is we're trying to define in very simple terms, here is the upward call.
Mm-hmm.
The upward call is growing in faith. It is growing in virtue. Mm-hmm. It is growing in knowledge, growing in self-control, in perseverance, in brotherly kindness, and growing in love. And Kenny, if you and I can look at the end of the week and say, you know what? I know I can do better in those things, but I do have those things and I am trying to work on those things. And guess what? We know, we can know, we're on the upward call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that you're framing it this way. If you want to get started, start with faith. Start with faith.
Yeah.
What does it mean and how do you increase it? Because there's seven more things that you need to focus in on later. But start with faith.
Yep.
Why do you believe? So anyway, are you going to be preaching this next time?
Yes, I will be preaching on Sunday. And what we're going to try to do this series in the next probably month and a half, maybe 2 months. Again, I'm going to have some travel come June, a couple mm-hmm. of weeks, and then... a couple other things that are going on, but we're going to try to finish this by, I can't remember. I think it's either the end of June or end of July. We're not going to try to do a lesson on each one of the qualities. We're going to double them up. So
sure.
This someday we're going to talk about faith and we're going to talk about virtue or moral excellence, depending on mm-hmm. the translation that you use. And we're going to talk about those two qualities and try to define those and look at some practical ways that we can be growing in those things and so that we can know that we're on the upward call.
Sounds good to me. So I look forward to hearing that next time, man.
All right, Kenny.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get to know us more, you're welcome to watch a live stream service or join us in person at the University Church of Christ in Tampa, Florida. We have our meeting times and directions to the building at universitychurchofchrist.org. The sermon that we reference in today's episode is also available in the show notes. Until next time, God bless you in your walk with God.